record.
Overseas is a big place. Where overseas?
Oh, he's doing the old. I think he's doing like a Kentucky
majig, like the Europe visits and stuff.
Okay, so
Amsterdam. Mm.
I'm sure that'll play a major part of this trip.
Mm.
So, how are we today?
Early.
Early.
I don't even know what episode number we're up to. So, welcome to Gamers Make the World Go Round, episode question mark. It's way too early for me to be doing anything.
We've run out of fingers.
Even, yes. my name's James. I've got Tim here.
Hello.
And Brad.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sure we'll be bombed by somebody else shortly, if he gets time. I don't know where Peter is. But whatever.
Maybe you should explain what we're doing up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so we're up early because, as you noticed, we've been absent for a little while. Our podcast schedule sort of got a bit out of hand. Work's getting in the way, all that sort of stuff, you know, families, blah, blah, blah.
I haven't even heard the sparrow fart yet. It's got to be coming up soon.
So we're up at sparrow fart. There you go, Brad. There's a reference in there. Just to try and get this podcast out to you a bit more regularly. We're going to probably go bi-weekly to make it a bit easier for everybody with our families and everything. And hopefully we'll be able to bring you a bit more interesting...
we do podcasts. It's not as if we're on tours of duty, though, is it?
That's true. Yeah. We just hang around and talk and record it, really. So, but anyway. It has begun! I was just... Tim and I were just about to start a conversation about PlayStation Plus. Brad, I don't know how much you love PlayStation and everything, but So with PlayStation, sorry, totally just interrupted. Whatever you were going to say, with PlayStation Plus, yeah, you know how you got to pay for a live membership every year, right? If you decide to use online features of Xbox,
yep. Do you have one?
Yeah. With PlayStation, all the online stuff and gaming is free, but you can pay for a premium service as well, which is called PlayStation Plus. Now, the difference, and the reason I always choose the PlayStation subscription every year over the Xbox one, is because with the PlayStation Plus, you get about 45 free games a year around, and they're full release games and stuff. So,
Pod bomb.
Oh, I think Brad was kind enough to bring you a chair, bud.
Oh, that's all right.
Pod bomb.
Anyway,
and welcome, Mind Your Manners, to
Hello.
The podcast. I was just talking about... PlayStation Plus and what the difference is between Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus and stuff. So, because Tim's just recently jumped on board. I've been a PlayStation Plus member since it started. So you get like I tell you all the time, 50 games.
Hang on. We just brushed over a pretty important fact. You turned to the dark side.
He's always been. Oh, he's got both as well. So I've got both.
You mean
systems.
Dark side?
That stupid PlayStation thing.
I've always been PlayStation.
Oh, God.
I got an Xbox because I got it free.
Oh, for the love of God, I'm behind enemy lines.
No. Don't get
Bill Gates.
Both Tim and I own both consoles. So we're just...
But I got Xbox free with a TV.
I actually bought mine. So I did go out to get one.
I actually got my first one free with a mobile phone.
There you go, you're an Xbox player. At the end of the day, he's an Xbox player by default anyway. So,
it's
anyways.
The first time I've been in a podcast with Manus, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, yeah, it was.
I've only done one thing.
Oh, okay,
two.
So.
Right.
And didn't he get voted out of the house?
That's true. Yeah, you got a super amount. You got a super amount of votes. Hence the votes.
Yeah, it sounded like it was a bit of a hate crime against me. Really.
there was a lot of slagging, mate. But yeah, not really.
Back to PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, so PlayStation Plus, right. So Tim's decided to dive in and...
Take the plunge
and get a membership this year. So, we're just talking about some of the benefits. Now, Tim downloaded a game, and then the game is like so many gigs large, and then you... Was that even English? And then when you start the game, it's got like 50 updates, say. So you've got to sit there and watch all the updates go, and it installs one, then it downloads the next one, installs
it. So I downloaded it overnight, so that was painful enough. Mm. And then went to play it last night, and there was like a couple
of have 20
updates.
Now, one of these awesome benefits of PlayStation Plus is that it enables an option in the system menu on the PlayStation to say, update your system automatically. Now, what it does is you turn this feature on, you ask it what features you want to update, so whether it's uploading your game saves or downloading patches for games and all that sort of stuff. So if you tick all the boxes, then you pick a certain time of night, like between 2 a.m. 4 a.m. or something, and it will turn on itself without the beep, which I find is really handy for, you know, not waking you up. And it does all the downloads of all your games, and then the next time you turn your PlayStation on, it says, hey, all this has been downloaded. It gives you a list of all the patches.
That's
and
cool.
You can, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes it really, really handy. You don't have to sit there, and every game you play is always up to date, as long as you've popped it in the PlayStation after that membership has been on there.
Sweet. All right, we'll do that.
I'll give that a try.
I've never gotten into even the, I suppose, I use PlayStation Network for the gaming aspect, but anything outside of gaming or the actual PlayStation site, I've had PlayStation since day one and I've never used it. I've never downloaded a demo, never downloaded a game.
Really?
Nothing. Yeah.
Oh man, demos
so
are awesome.
I jump on there and I look at it and I go, I've searched through the demos and going, oh yeah, that would be pretty cool. But you realise it's going to take probably 2 hours to download and you just want to play a game. So I'm like,
yeah, but you can set the download.
And you do have
and
the
you
attention span of a goldfish.
You don't have to sit there watching the download the whole time. You can hit download in the background and then it'll just put it to the back burner and you play all your games and when you turn off your PlayStation.
So it's not like the normal update where you have to sit there and
watch. Not the update. No, update's
and
separate class, yeah. Yeah, because update requires your console
I'll
to be formatted.
That's easy.
Yeah, so
problem solved.
Educational podcast.
This podcast brought to you by PlayStation. Not really. I wish it was. But
sponsor us.
Yeah, sponsor us. Please give us money. So I had a list of things to talk about, but I left it somewhere. But what have you guys been playing lately? Anything interesting?
I don't know if I said that when I first played Journey, I cracked the shits because I had Scarf Envy. Do you remember that episode?
Yes, I remember Scarf Envy.
Do you remember that, Brad?
Brad's having a quiet cake now.
Do you know about Journey?
No.
It's a downloadable game.
Yep.
But it's a good one. It was well received. But
it's more art than game, I guess.
Yeah, one of the things about it is there is online multiplayer, kind of. You're playing your game and then someone else appears, someone else is playing it in the world.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of assigned to you. Anyway, when I first played it, they had a longer scarf than I did. And
you don't get to choose.
More scarf envy since Doctor Who.
you don't get to choose who you're playing with, but this guy had a longer scarf, so I was like, well, fuck that shit. And I turned it off and didn't play it since. so I turned it back on the other day. I was like, right, I'm going to absolutely make sure that I get every little thing that adds to scarf length. And when I was assigned my player, I had a longer scarf than them, and I was so goddamn happy.
You became the dominator.
I was like running around after him, look at my scarf, look at my scarf. And he was really crap at it. And I could get to places he couldn't because of my long scarf. The scarf allows you to get up higher and stuff.
So it allows you to fly
basically,
longer or
yeah.
something? Yeah.
So each section of scarf.
So is it like a platform game?
It's just like an open world kind of thing, but it's just massively stylistic and...
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like this big desert, basically, that you're wandering around in. There's these bonuses and makes your scarf long. And
you just collect things and then just look at the vistas. And
you have to get to this mountain.
It's about the journey, Chris.
So
it's,
about scarf.
It's about the journey.
It is for me.
I think, why do they call this game Scarf?
they should call it S.E. And then underneath it says Scarf Envy.
That's what it's all about for me. I don't really care where I'm going.
Well, that's the completest in you coming out, isn't it? You need to have more stuff.
But then, I didn't realise that you were in any danger in this game whatsoever.
There's danger?
There is. And I walked straight into the danger zone.
So we need someone with a pipe organ. Danger! Dun dun dun!
My smugness was wiped off my face because.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had my long scarf, thought I was invincible. This big beast came out of nowhere, knocked me on my ass, lost half of my scarf.
Whoa!
Oh no. Can you quit and start again and get
knit
your load?
More scarf?
Hold on. So my mate who was playing with me came running over and was like that and all worried about me, all laughing at me because I now had a longer scarf. So that's obviously how I perceive the turn of events to be.
I see.
Off.
Oh!
So they should make you scarf so it's like your bar of health and then the shorter it gets, then you die. That would be interesting.
It probably is.
You just can't do anything. You just can't get up onto the higher platforms and get the
You're going to go searching around for shit again to get your scarf on.
Yeah. So I've realised I'm just a complete prick. That's why I don't play MMOs.
Yeah.
Because I'll be the person everybody hates. I played dirty.
Yeah, but you can
you,
be. But
you would
the
be.
The whole point
I'd be the Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, but the whole.
I really would just destroy people as they get to a great point.
There is, if you play MMOs, you can play one of two ways, right? We've spoken about PvP and PvE before, so you can play like, I don't know what the E stands for, but you can play against the computer as teams, or you can play person versus person in MMOs. So you can totally be a troll if you want and get that inner villain out of you and just build the shit out of people. Remember, did I tell you what happened when I first played DC Universe Online?
Yeah, you got beat up in a bar. And
yeah, I got smashed. And then, like, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to leave this bar and I'm going to go flying around the city because I could fly. I flew to the highest, I was like, that's a tall building, I'm going to go there. And I flew all the way to the top and there's some prick at the top there and just uppercut me straight off the building. and that's what, I'm going to start doing that to people.
It's like when I played Grand Theft Auto, I jumped on Grand Theft Auto Online.
Oh my God.
And this is probably years and years and years and years and years after it's actually released. So it looks like, by the looks of it, there's only one person in the whole entire universe still playing Grand
Theft Auto. It's the same guy with that sniper rifle.
There was one other player inside this guy, and he had the fire engine.
Mm.
And as soon as I dropped in, he obviously thought, yes, someone's playing Grand Theft Auto Online. And he's like, come straight for me with the fire engine. And he's using the hose, and he's just hosing me down, and I'm like a vulnerable prisoner, like just like getting thrown around, and couldn't even actually
get
back.
And you get locked into the
animation,
you can't get out, can you?
And so I lasted 5 minutes, I kind of stuffed this, so I don't know what that guy's doing, but if he's listening, you know.
Fuck you.
I'm sure he is. Apparently that's all he does.
I had the same experience, though, when I jumped onto GTA Online. I walked into the what looks like Times Square, that area, and there was some guy on a fire engine, but he wasn't using the water, he was using a sniper rifle, and I'd spawn and I would get shot in the head and die, and I'd be like, fuck, alright, I'd spawn, get shot in the head and die, and I'm like, what the fuck, spawn me somewhere else, and it just wouldn't. I kept spawning in the same spot and kept getting shot in the head, and it was the same, like, eh, quit.
Yeah, it's him.
It's him.
He's still there. He's still there, just waiting for someone else to jump in.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing.
Cool.
Brad?
Bradery? I've been playing this game where I get this fire truck.
No, wash this episode down.
No, in all fairness, about the only game I've been playing at any sort of length is Mario Kart on the Wii.
Cool.
God.
Is that... I've played it once, and it was really hard because you had to steer the controller.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work with me. I need to use the D-pad. So,
I'm unbeatable at that.
You are beatable or unbeatable?
Unbeatable.
Ooh, I hear a challenge.
Oh, yeah, challenge accepted.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Put some
hours.
Do
you have a Wii, Tim?
No.
There's one just outside this.
Nope. And I've never played it before, but I'm unbeatable.
Because I won't play anywhere.
Well, considering the last time you threw chat, it was about how rubbish he was at footbag.
Oh, yeah. He's come out with a freaking
dominated.
Top score.
What can I say?
Alright, challenge accepted. Me and Tim will be playing
this
Mario Kart.
I don't know what it is. This sounds like the making of Alcoholicast Take 2.
The controller for Mario Kart Wii just, I don't know, suits
your style.
Yeah, it suits my brain, I guess. And just...
Yeah, this doesn't, I can't, if, I'm sorry, I'm mimicking steering a wheel, but aside from driving a real car, that doesn't work for me, motion controls.
I don't just beat people, I like kind of...
Decimate,
yeah.
It's alright, there's one 10 metres from where we're sitting.
Tim's got a genuine look of concern in his voice when he says he just decimates people. It's interesting. It's not like a smug look either. He's actually
who's your character then? Because normally people who play it with any sort of consistency have a particular character that they pick consistently.
What's he called?
I'm guessing Brad picks Toad.
No, I'm more of a Yoshi. Me and Yoshi have done some wonderful things in the last couple of weeks.
It is a lizard kind of thing.
That would be Yoshi then.
Yeah, it could be Koopa Trooper.
No, it must be Yoshi then.
So long as it's not Princess, because she's a slut.
Yeah, I agree.
But she's so good.
She's a slut.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. She's so good.
I've always had a bit of a problem with that too. Cause
I hate her.
If she was taken, why wouldn't Mario just attack the castle that she was in? Instead of going through the four castles beforehand.
Uh-oh, Princess isn't here.
God, you need some better intel.
Was
there anyone in those castles?
Yeah. Luigi's feeding
him.
Oh,
yeah.
So, like her sister's.
Round.
They didn't find Osama bin Laden in the first house. They
Mario's satellite intel is incorrect. So the overhead view of the map is just totally wrong.
But have you been playing anything, Manus?
Well, I've got a funny story. You guys are probably going to go, Chris, you're a bit strange. Why are you doing that? Why are you playing that?
Oh, good. Look forward to this.
But there's a reasoning behind why I'm playing this. And in fact, I've been playing it religiously, day in, day out, each and every single night I've been playing it. And it's actually NBA 2K10.
Oh, wow. 2K10, too. Okay.
And I'll give you a reason why I'm actually playing it. It's quite an enjoyable game. I love my basketball. I'm not usually a big sporting game sort of person. I much rather shoot someone. but Kat is absolutely obsessed with basketball, and because NBA is quite realistic in the way that I suppose it's displayed, where it's almost like watching an actual game with the commentary in the background and instant replays and all those sort of things. So Kat actually loves just watching me play. So I don't need to play with her and pretend that she's actually quite good at what she's not. I don't have to try and entertain her by explaining what's going on. She knows more about basketball than me. And I get home and we have dinner, and her response is, are we going to go upstairs and play PlayStation?
Yes. That's,
so I go
that's
upstairs,
perfect.
I get to play PlayStation, she's sitting there beside me with a laptop. And
there's no strangety in that at all. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've got a cheer squad.
Yeah.
So I'll be sitting there last night. I was playing because I'm playing as the Knicks, and I'm playing LA Lakers, and I was covering old Kobe Bryant, and I'm 12 up on him, and I've got someone there going, yeah. Woo, yeah, yeah. And my head is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So that's what I've it's actually a sport.
Yeah, but
game,
you can play sports games day in, day out, day in, day out, because the game is different every time you play it, right?
Yeah.
Like, essentially.
Yeah.
Unless you're stupidly good at it, and then it's the same every time you play.
Well, and it's a career as well, so it's not like you can play it as control the whole team like you normally would in any other thing. So you pass the ball and you
So you're,
pick,
you're one particular person.
Yeah, so you start off.
That's awesome.
You start off in this.
Do you level up?
Well, yeah, you do. So you start. You start off in I suppose the summer league, and you start off with like a skill point of 40, and you have to. Because I had to start again when I first played it, because you finish the summer league, and then because they rate you A+, D-, you have to do certain things along the way, and if you don't make it through the summer league, you get dropped to the D league, and you barely impossible to get out of the D league. And you get to pick, so you pick who your position is, whether you're shooting guard, center, whoever it is, and you work your way up all the way through to the NBA, and then you get poached and all that sort of stuff as well. So it's actually really quite interesting. Yeah, it's quite realistic. But it's unusual for me because the closest I've ever gotten to a real gaming game is Athens 2004. We can't argue with how great that game is.
I'm sure I could come up with something.
Here's me sitting here thinking the basketball game's peaked at NBA Jam.
Oh man, NBA Jam is awesome. I love that.
Even the
reiteration of it, like on PlayStation and Xbox, is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I paid like
do they still do
$80 for it when it came
up?
Out, and I was like, oh man, it wasn't. It's not worth $80. It's worth what it is now, about $20-$25. Mm. Totally worth buying. But,
I have a similar situation with RPGs with my missus.
Yeah.
So I'll kill things, and she does the brain work, and.
Yeah,
she's dead happy when I level up and stuff, and she's a completist as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So she actually annoys me sometimes in that she'll spot like a little chest in the corner.
Yeah.
And she missed some treasure, and has real judgment.
Oh.
You got to go back. And like I go right, I'm quite select. I've become selective over what I take out treasure chests in RPGs now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you don't want to be over
and
come with.
And she's like, take all. No, there's some crap in there. I don't need all the crap. Take all. We'll sort it out later. So, oh man, I'm going to get over encumbered. Doesn't matter, take all. Level up your character so you can carry more stuff, but I want everything in that chest.
See, the only problem playing those games with Kat is it actually takes me about 5 hours to actually start playing the game, because then it just goes create character.
Right.
Mm. It's like.
Yeah.
That is, I think that's my favourite part of RPGs.
No, make your eyes a little bit bigger. Oh, I don't like you with blonde hair. Oh, maybe you should change your shirt. I'm like, oh.
That's true.
I have a more simple problem.
Throw Georgie to controller while I go and cook dinner and have beers and stuff for that bit, and then come back and play.
I have a more simpler problem. My wife cannot control a character around a corner. So
really?
All games like that are out.
Yeah, anything that uses the right stick for the camera, same as me.
She can't do it. She'll strafe the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really awesome if you just want some easy kills to get your confidence up. They're not so good if you want to have a long and loving relationship.
They play a 3D first-person shooter like Mario. Like when Kat plays Call of Duty, so you can see it running in a straight line, jumping, and it almost reminds you, if you're looking at that from a side, it would actually look like you're playing Mario.
Funniest wives playing computer games experience I ever had. I threw her the controller to pick flowers in Oblivion, because it's not the most thrilling part of Oblivion, but she was good at it. So I went off and got a beer and stuff like that, and I heard this absolute blood-curdling scream from the living room. I was like, oh shit, what's wrong? I thought she was actually in danger or something like that. Her character was running back towards the camera. She was terrified, being pursued by a mud crab. So,
well, that shows the immersion that she was experiencing, I guess.
She ventured too near a lake to get some flowers and stuff like that. This little mud crab came out.
Bloomberg!
I've gotten scared in games before.
Not from a mug crab.
Oh, no.
I don't know, sometimes, you just don't know they're there. Like, if you're playing...
It's nipping my ankle!
Who's got a pot of boiling water?
We've actually recently taken a trip down memory lane with our gaming, the missus and I. I can say the missus and I this time, because she's actually playing the game too.
That's no small feat.
Please say Little Big Planet.
It's not Little Big Planet. It's arguably a better game than Little Big Planet, but I'm not sure. We're playing Alex Kidd in Miracle World at the moment.
Oh, well done.
And
wow.
Yeah, and that's
reverence. See,
Nikki had a Master System, or her brother had a Master System when she was a kid. And you know, back in the Master System days with Alex Kidd, you could not save your game. You played the whole game through until you got game over, and then you walked away after that, right? Yeah. And so, downloaded it on PlayStation 3. It was $6. So it was like, said to her, do you want to play Alex Kidd? She's like, oh, I'll actually play that. So sweet. So I got her to get, we got Alex Kidd, and I just gave her the controller, and she kind of looked at me like with a really look, you know, like, you're not going to take the controls. I'm like, no, I want you to play this.
Yeah.
And man, she went to town. That game is embanked in her memory so well that she was showing me glitches. And she was showing me, like, hidden treasures and cool, crazy, weird things that you used to only do if you played the game, like,
and
religiously
she still
and just experimented.
It
yeah.
It's funny how
yeah, it just
goes
all came back. Like, she was doing things like, there was a frog character that's in the water, and he's a real big guy, and he emits bubbles. And
I remember that guy.
And and then you got to punch it, like, 10 times to kill it. And she goes, but she lined it up. She lined it up halfway in the next screen, went across the other side of the screen and punched a piece of air, and the frog just went blip and disappeared. Yeah. I was like, what? And she's like, do you know that? I'm like, no, I don't know any of this shit. And then she's like, showing me all this crazy stuff.
Alex,
fucking mad. She remembered all the Jenkin matches out of the whole game. She remembered the whole, every single match, which I found was amazing.
Which one was the one where you played rock, paper, scissors? Is it that one?
Yeah, it's Alex Kidd.
No, but there's an... And then they had another one. Is it Alex Kidd goes to White Castle or something?
Oh, he goes to the White Castle. Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, which is the Mega Drive game.
Yeah.
That was heavily based around Jenkin, wasn't it? That whole game, but it was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible, but... Yeah, so we played that, and I also bought Wonder Boy in Monster World.
Is
sorry.
Is it called Rock, Paper, Scissors, Jenkin?
In that game, it's called Jenkin Match, yeah. It's a Japanese reference.
Because I never knew to know what he's saying. Someone told me that once.
Yeah, he goes, Jenkin Boy.
Yeah.
But in the game, it sounds like...
No, I used to think it... I remember it, because I used to think it said, Hot Cross Bun.
that's a good little segue. Have you ever been totally wrong about what a character says? Like, in Street Fighter, so many people get the Hadoukens wrong and the Tatsumaki, you know, Senpukyaku thingy.
I
they get all that
wrong,
stuff wrong.
But I always used to think...
Duck Dogen, you know, it's like he's not saying duck Dogen, man. He's saying a whole Japanese word.
There's a little chick in Eternal Sonata who says something when she attacks, and Georgie thought it was cupcake. She still says it.
Does she throw a cupcake?
Well, no, she's got these fucking huge blades.
In cupcake. Sonic, now it would have been Sonic. Well, it might have been Sonic 3. No, it might have been the original Sonic. When you get to the very end and you're actually playing underwater.
Yeah.
and you know how you have to get the air bubbles.
Yeah.
And when you start running, you go. I used to think you used to say roof rack. Roof rack. Roof rack.
Roof rack.
Do you know what
helped me? Peril underwater. A roof rack.
His only opportunity to take air, and he has to say roof rack. We're talking. I just said, like, it was just funny because we're talking about what. Have you ever mistaken something in a game, like something a character says,
or
something totally different?
Mortal Kombat. The argument over whoopsie, toasty.
Ah, yes, perfect.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, it sounds like whoopsie though, but he does say toasty.
Yeah.
So, it's that's pretty funny, but.
Right, it sounds exactly like
that used to stress me out, hey.
Oh, the music.
The music used to...
Yeah.
Because there was a couple of levels, wasn't there?
Yeah. Labyrinth Zone, Chemical Brain Zone.
And then in Sonic 2, there was
the fireball.
Really lush kind of one, which was a bunch of water stuff.
And the second level in that game, was really nice with the waterfalls and all that stuff.
Did you guys ever play Sonic Spinball?
Yeah.
That was an intense game.
That's really fast. Mm. It's a really fast and
played it.
It's one of the first pinball games, I think, electronic pinball games.
Yeah. And Sonic. You start off and you do the he'll shoot into the actual pinball machine and then you're using him like a pinball machine.
Yeah.
And then you'll get up and you can walk in for a bit and you'll go into another pinball machine. So basically the whole entire game was just you're going
traveling
up,
from table to table
up the whole way and going table to table.
I never got past the first table in that game. Because
there was elements of that in the first Sonic game, wasn't there? There was one zone
where
there was some of that.
Casino zone.
Yeah. Was that the first one or the second one?
Second one. No?
Oh, no. Casino zone was the first one. That's when it goes... It'd be like,
I think it's Sonic 2 though. I don't think Casino Zone's in the first one. You're right,
but there are flippers.
Tails is in
one of the main games.
The first one is when you're bouncing around, doing like you know you get those special levels.
It's that, yeah.
So when you jump through the ring, you get the.
I love the music in those bonus stages.
Yeah, and then the second one you got to do the running around
the racetrack
to get
the cows. Oh yeah, I know. Sorry. See, Sonic to me is all the music. So the gameplay, I'd play it like a zombie that game. So I just knew all the gameplay, and I just concentrated on listening to the music when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So everything, I remember all the levels via their music and how.
Still remember Chopper Command on Atari 2600.
The bonus levels on the first Sonic, because that was like the 360 degree kind of
change the rotation.
That was quite stressful, wasn't it?
To get that one.
That's when my completist nature was kicking in for the first time.
Really?
Like, getting all the chaos emeralds, because you got a different ending.
Yes, you did.
And in Sonic 2, you could become Super Sonic with the chaos emeralds, couldn't you?
Yep. Provided you had 50 rings or more.
Such a good game. Gives me an idea.
Okay.
Both Tim and myself are working on the next generation of gamers at the moment. What are the games that we have to show our kids? They have the same...
Jazz Jackrabbit.
Really? PS1? Is it PS1?
No, Jazz Jackrabbit, like the original...
Was on PC.
PC.
I would go back to, like, Duke Nukem 2 or something.
Saying dipping back into gaming history so that
they're
well-educated.
So our kids in the future... can have conversations of such warmth and remembrance of
I don't think you
games.
Can impose our history. Kind of reverence for that era onto them.
I will, definitely. Kayla's going to be playing 2D 8-bit platformers before she plays anything else.
I mean, one of my greatest fears...
Start at the bottom.
You've got to
be
the
best
way
to start at the bottom.
If you're going to get... Like, all these kids now, they're not appreciative of the technology. And obviously, they can't be. They're too young, but... Like 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds now are not appreciative of what the revelation of video games has been in the last.
They'll have their own revelation.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, how?
Oh god, it hasn't peaked now.
No, of course not. But it already looks amazing now, and you've got all these
more amazing
vast environments. But what happened to the simple prospect of gameplay and solely gameplay?
Saying we need to educate our kids by watching that film with that train driving towards the screen. Remember that French film where everyone's like, "Fuck! It's this train! It's coming towards me!"
Maybe we do.
No, that should be. Maybe it should be real. If a man is made out of 6 pixels and you can't tell what colour his hair is, you're not a gamer.
Agreed.
But I mean, one of my biggest fears at the moment is that my child will grow up and not like Star Wars.
Well, how can they? Because they're going to be. See, what would you rather do? Would you rather your children see? Have you watched Star Wars?
But
I'm just making sure. I know. Yeah, sorry,
I'm about to walk out.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. But
yes, I have watched Star Wars.
What would you rather than be exposed to? Episodes 1, 2, and 3, or 4, 5, and 6?
No, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. They can watch them in the order that George Lucas.
I don't think they should even watch 1, 2, 3.
They could be disappointed.
I'd be like, if my kids were old enough, I'd take them in episode 1. I'd skip 75% of the movie and go, "This is the Darth Maul fight. This is what you need to know about this movie."
My kids wouldn't even know there was episode 1.
So yeah, I think I agree.
I'll wean him in too with that Clone Wars stuff. Thanks, Lucasfilm, for making Star Wars kid friendly for a little while.
Yeah, Clone Wars.
I don't
would be
think
right.
You need to take them all the way back. Like I remember when I was playing Sega, and my old man would be like, "Come outside and play." I'm like, "I don't want to do that shit." So it's kind of the same thing. You go, "Son, you're going to play a Sega?" You'd be like, "What the fuck is that? I'm not playing that.
Can I kick a ball?
What is that?"
No, stay inside. You fucking play video games, all right? Jeez. What is this world coming to?
What's this cartridge? What the hell is this? You're blowing it. You what?
Now you got to wiggle it. You can't just put it straight in. You've got to jiggle it.
You've
got to
make sure it's in properly.
I think my kid's going to be too traumatised from being force-fed the Alien trilogy before Star Wars.
Oh, touché.
See, I can't stand Sigourney.
But see, how old are they going to be? Are they going to be, you're going to wait till they're like 15, or are you going to scare the living daylights out of them when they were only
partly joking about
that. Oh, okay, sorry. I actually consider that because my kids are getting older by the day, so.
Hey, Alien, it's Sigourney Weaver. If I saw Sigourney Weaver, I don't care if she's female, famous, or what, I'd still punch her in the face.
I'm actually glad I'm sitting really in between. I may physically
like
have
it.
To stop Tim from ripping
really
Chris's face
like
off.
I really do not like that. Sorry, Tim.
Oh, that's all right.
It's not her that you have to like. It's Ripley.
She takes a swan dive in the third film. So.
Yeah, that is a great moment. Same with that. What's that? What's that movie with the alien? They run around in the RV now, and there's an animated alien. It's a new movie.
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah.
And she rocks up at the very end. Have you seen it?
I can't remember
Sigourney Weaver rocks up at the very end, uses one line out of the movie Alien, and someone shoots her in the head, and I just stood up. Movie of the year.
It's like that episode of CSI when Bieber gets shot.
Bieber?
Yeah,
I must admit, much as I love the Alien film, Sigourney Weaver's not a sympathetic screen presence.
No.
And she made up her name. Which has, for some reason...
Did she really?
Yeah, it gives me the shits. Why would you make up the name Sigourney? Like, if you could name yourself anything, it's my personal opinion, I wouldn't pick Sigourney. And for some reason...
I wouldn't do that
for myself. But for some reason, when I found out, I read it once when I was younger, in a magazine or something, and I read that she wrote her own name, basically.
Hollywood star changes name, shock.
Yeah, but it depends on how old she was. She'd let it go if she was 6.
But, like, I don't know, for some reason it shit me. I'm like, that's a shit name! And then I just lost it after that, didn't like it.
Do you know it only costs you $150 to change your name?
Yes, I do, actually.
And you only
I've had to change my name.
6 months.
And you what, sorry?
You only have to keep it for 6 months.
Your name?
Yeah, and then you can change it back if you want it.
So you could go with something comedy for 6 months just to say you've done it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so you can change your name.
What would you call yourself?
Well, I was contemplating Achilles.
Mm.
Just so you can go. Achilles.
I'd call myself Bucket.
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 Something different.
I would walk around and kick you. I kicked the bucket.
Achilles, hey? Do you like the character Achilles?
I call myself Lord Chief Justice.
It's a little bit awesome.
Lord
Chief Justice Fisher.
Maybe
LCJ Fisher.
It sounds like a bad rapper.
It sounds awesome,
it's
LCJ.
It's like old mate over in the States changed his name with a .com, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. Like, say, whatever it was.
Rotten.com. But what if he doesn't own the domain? That'd be pretty funny. Just type my name into Google and nothing happens. Yeah, anyway.
That's interesting segue. But
to what?
Ding.
To nothing. That was an interesting segue, sorry.
But that wasn't a segue, that was a topic of discussion.
That's true.
A segue is like links to the next topic of discussion.
Speaking of topics of discussion.
Good segue. Actually, this whole segue is turning into a topic of discussion. And that's just fucking blowing my mind.
Actually, yeah, it's blown it wide open for me too.
You confuse me. I have a feeling this isn't going anywhere.
Can
so
I continue? Yeah, well, can I continue my 8-bit to 16-bit revelation that I've been going through?
Oh my god. Can you remember that when you go, my god, the graphics are so realistic.
Oh my god, 16 colours! You know, like, it's, oh man, remember when, I remember so much the first time that I saw, like, I'd been exposed, I had a Commodore 64 right up until Mega Drive came out, and I still use my Commodore.
Oh, wow.
I missed out the 8-bit generation. We didn't get a NES, we didn't get a Master System, but my cousins had both those consoles. So I'd only experienced Mario at this one person's house that I never ever went to, like one of my distant relatives or whatever. And then my cousins who lived down the road had Master System, and they only played Alex Kidd. So we went there, we used to play Alex Kidd all the time. And then one day we were walking in Darling Harbour in Sydney, and I walked past a Virgin Megastore, and they had a triple TV set up in the window, and it was playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm.
And I was stopped in my tracks. I could not walk away from the TV. And my jaw literally just dropped. And then I was ahead of my parents because I knew there was video games here, but I didn't realize the new generation of video games had started. And I saw it, and I was floored by it. And then my parents were like, come on, we're going to go shopping. I'm like, I'll be right here. I'm not going anywhere. and they literally went shopping for like an hour or 2 hours or something. And I must have stood there the whole time and just watched that demo over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then we had to, sadly, had to go home after that. I couldn't stay there all night. and then a few months later, it was Christmas or something. And I remember my dad coming out with this big, massive box. And I was thinking, oh, what have we got this year? And it wasn't just for me. It was a family gift. So... And this is what happened 5 years, 6 years earlier with the Commodore 64. We bought this massive box and we opened it, and it was a Commodore. It was brilliant.
Oh, wow.
And then they opened it up, and I just see the in the bottom right hand corner of the box, I just see the picture of the wolf from Altered Beast.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Remember that N64?
Yeah, thing? I was just about to say, I've got the image of the N64.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't flipping out like that, but I got really excited, and we plugged it in. Took about 2 hours to figure out how to tune the fucking RF thing into the TV, because it wasn't AV cables.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to go through the antenna point and tune the channel in.
Oh, that's right.
We used to have like the little yellow thing.
Yeah, we had one with a button that was like plus and minus, and you could always miss it. You'd like see the picture, it would go away, and you're like, you'd go back.
Oh, and technology.
Man, and I swear, my life has been totally, totally different ever since. I've not, like...
Remember
I played Sonic,
Altered
Beast, and Columns, which is what came in that box. Yeah, Columns.
Oh,
what a great game Columns is. It's like the Sega equivalent of Tetris.
Yeah, I remember Columns.
And it was just fucking amazing.
Hey, you're a Sydney boy.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Sega World?
Yeah.
Oh
my goodness. Sega World. That was fucking mad. It was expensive, but it was like...
I remember
the big blue cone at the top of the building that you just knew that was Sega World.
I was so young, so I have probably this altered perception of what Sega World really was.
No, it's
my and
it's
I was
probably
my, one
dude
my
with
visual,
a poster.
My visual image is I remember driving up this road and just seeing this like massive, like huge, biggest building in the whole entire world. That's driving going, son, that's Sega World. And I'm like, yeah, I did say, I wanna go. You like walk in and dad's giving them the money, and you just get all these coins, depending on how much money you spend, with little Sonic Hedgehog coins.
Yeah, tokens.
And it was like, you imagine time zone times. In my eyes, 10, back then,
easily 10.
A billion.
Alright.
Big, like, stories.
Arcades
stories.
As far as the eye can
see. Stories and stories and stories of this. And, like, you know, Daytona, it's not like, you know, the normal 3 Daytona, it's not normal 10 Daytona. There was lines of, like, 60 Daytona, and everyone was racing each other. This place was massive and it was awesome.
It was huge,
and
it was amazing.
That'd be just a little too hard to coordinate. Even with the 3 Daytona, you all sit there with the coin.
Ready?
Go. Oh shit, my coin didn't go through! Yeah. Wait!
There's only 6 seconds left, come on, man!
Did you try to do that with 60 people?
Pick easy! Oh no, someone picked hard! Fuck, different tracks.
I dare say, yeah.
You're gonna have manual auto.
Like, cheating prick, you've got to learn!
Manual. Driving manual in that game was the cheat, wasn't it? You smash it into. like you get to fourth and smash into second when you're going around a corner and the car used to step out and stuff. Yeah. There was a great method to that game when you played it properly.
And there's nothing worse than pressing accelerate at the wrong time. Like, damn it!
Yeah. How like annoying is it when you're like in a place like Sega World and you've got 50 machines hooked up in a row and you just hear that Daytona everywhere and it's just like it's all at different times and stuff.
But no, it's really well set up. So, and like everyone would be watching, so it'd be like a massive line of Daytonas and then have it on the big screen of the actual thing and you can watch it. It was intense. Anyway, boys, I've got to head off.
Mate, it's good to have you here.
I'll
thank you for showing up.
Thanks for the privilege. So.
Sorry.
Oh, no worries at all.
Sum up anyway.
Yeah, it's a good idea. We'll call
bye,
it.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Bye. Yeah, so...
Thank God.
I'd like to nominate Chris for 2 points.
I think that's generous. So.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. Sega World was an amazing place. It was a massive, massive arcade, basically. And they used to hold under 18 discos there as well, so... you'd have the when you're under 18.
Did you have Alien War here?
Alien War? Mm. No, I don't think so. I don't recall that title.
Right, it's not a topic for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it's not game related.
Oh, right. Okay, something different altogether.
Yeah,
is it like a laser tag or something.
Kind of.
So Alien versus Predator versus you.
It was an alien thing. You go in there, and there was a couple of actors who you'd go in with, and you go into something that looked like the space station on LV-426.
Oh, really?
And you're walking around and stuff like that, and you walk into the lift that's there, and it's all really well done. There's smoke everywhere and shit, and it looks the part. And the light starts flickering, and the guy gets the butt of his gun and taps it a couple of times, and all of a sudden an alien falls through the ceiling of the lift, and everyone starts going fucking crazy.
And you're in this lift stuck with them?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be frightened.
It got banned. And you go through, you're in the experience for about 25 minutes, creeping around the space station and stuff like that. And I just remember vividly the last couple of minutes of it is that you're in this room and the Marines go, run, like that. And then they get one of them gets taken. And the alien comes and wrestles them away. And the alien's a guy in a suit, but he's awesome at it. And then you're running down the corridor and stuff like that. And you come out to the end and everyone's like crying and like tripping over. And anyway, they got sued a couple of times because people were having like heart palpitations and tripping over in the corridors and breaking ankles and stuff. I don't know what led me to think of that. But I was just kind of from Sega World to my experience.
That sounds
wholesome to
that
terrible.
Sounds really terrifying though.
It was. And they actually had to write something at the beginning and say like, you're not going to run. But I tell you what, anyone had to run in that last corridor. Because it felt like you were about to get killed.
They told you not to run.
Yeah, because they were like, you had to sign some waiver.
Then why are you yelling run, you fucking stupid?
Well, the actors got carried away. It was awesome. So, you know, there was like a million transgressions of law.
Yeah,
but it was absolutely bloody fantastic. I don't know why that
was
just...
I think it'd be a good adult ride.
I went twice.
Yeah. Were you young? Or
yeah, you? I think it was about 14 or 15 or so. It's perfect. I'd just seen the Alien film as well.
So you were excited about it still? Yeah.
And after the second time I came out, and I said that was the second time, and someone said to me, you're nuts, why on earth have you done that a second time? There's like old ladies, like white and stuff, and shaking.
Old ladies going to the alien, like.
Oh, we'll take the grandkids to this new ride.
Oh my god. You just, real quick, you remind me of, you know, the ghost train rides you get at the fates that come past and stuff. There was one, this is back when Freddy Krueger was still quite popular. I think it was only in the second or third iteration of movies. And they had a Nightmare on Elm Street, like, mini coaster ride where you're stuck inside the cabin and scary things would happen as you're going past, right? And people would like touch the back of your ear and stuff when you're going through. You couldn't see and you'd be like, oh, what the fuck was that? You know, and all that sort of stuff. And I was quite young and I was like, for some reason, loved Nightmare on Elm Street when I was a kid. That was my alien.
Mm.
So I didn't get too scared by it. It frightened me a bit, but it was like, I wanted to watch more all the time.
They were pretty funny as well.
And but I didn't get the humour, to be honest. I was quite young. So we went to this ride and at the very end, old Freddy jumps out himself and surprise, you know.
Cool.
And my sister, being she's got the funniest fear factor ever. She will throw a punch out before she runs scared. Right? She's like, great reaction. I wish I had that reaction.
Did she punch Freddy Krueger?
She punched the crap out of Freddy Krueger. She wasn't just didn't hit him once. She laid into him so hard that he was like, they turned the lights on, they stopped the ride, and he's like, that's it, I'm not fucking doing this anymore. The guy was like, I've been fucking punched now, that's it, I'm done. And he's walking away from the ride.
Your sister should have got an alien war.
Oh, man, she would have loved it.
When that thing burst through the sea, she would just be like,
she would have, yeah, she would have jumped the guy. This is, like, she doesn't react well to puppet things, like, you know St. George Bank, the dragon thing, right?
Yeah.
In the mid to late 90s, they were doing a promotion in Sydney where they opened up a few of the new St. George Banks, and that dragon guy was walking around giving people
the
cuddles.
The mascot.
Mm. He's walking around giving people cuddles and stuff, and he walked up behind my sister and put his arms around her from behind. She had no idea who it was, and she's giving him the elbow and the gut and turned around and smashed him in the face and knocked his head off. And that's just the sort of person she uses.
I actually have a growing concern that your sister may have a born identity thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, she's got anger management issues, you mean.
Notice that. I ever meet James' sister, don't sneak up on her. Yeah. Don't, for fuck's sake, be wearing any kind of like cartoon.
Don't be dressed up as a mascot.
Yeah. Right? Or River out of Serenity /5.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's got something, but doesn't quite understand the training.
It's great.
Just
but yeah, anyway, so
that's funny.
So yeah, this is, we'll wrap up, but you know, it's pretty funny to think about. This has been Gamers Make the World Go Round, episode ?
We're back.
We are back, and we will see you in a couple of weeks, and until then, look out for some probably light content on the website. We'll try and get some more content out to
you. We're
going to
get the video, the diary confessions up.
Yeah,
from
we've got to get those up. So yeah, I'll see if I can pull
Tim
out some
rant editing. Is inspiring.
All right, and until then, I'm James. With me is Tim and Brad, and that was Manners in there. And see you out.